Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Lions quarterback Jared Goff will join us shortly here on 97.1. Lions looking to bounce back. They do have the Bears coming in, and the Bears, look, they came out just hot as a pistol right down the field. Although I was looking at the play-by-play last night, here's how it manifested itself in that first drive. Caleb Williams passed short right to DeAndre Swift. Caleb Williams passed short left to DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift at right guard. Caleb Williams pass short middle to Kyle Manung guy. Caleb Williams pass short middle to DJ Moore. Then they had a run. Then he did have the completion of Dunze down the field. And then he passed short left. And then he scrambled for a touchdown. And I'm like, okay, he dinked and dunked down the field. He had one downfield pass and he ran for a touchdown. The number, I was on social media at the time. Ben Johnson's fixed Caleb Williams. Ben Johnson's fixed Caleb Williams. And I'm like, did he? I mean, there was the one downfield throw. But I also think back to Bill Belichick takes when they went right down the field and scored in that North Carolina-Virginia Tech game. Now, I'm not burying anybody. I'm just saying that it's a work in progress there.
Yeah,
as
like
well.
You mentioned, he was 10 of 10 to start the game and then finished 11 of 25.
Yeah.
I mean... And struggled to score in the second half. They had one offensive touchdown in the second half.
Yeah, they scored on their first possession and what their last possession. And in between, there was a field goal and a defensive touchdown. I tell you what, the awesome exchange on the kick return late, I don't know how many people saw this because it was like the last thing that happened, but the Bears are out of timeouts. There's minute 40-something to go, minute 50 to go. And the Bears are out of timeouts, and the kick goes 5 yards deep, and Kevin O'Connell signaling to his kick. I mean, I hope he told him beforehand, but right. It looked like this was a check with me situation, like, because he told him, bring it out. And the reason you want to bring it out is because you can kill 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I think they killed 7 or 8 seconds, whatever it was.
It mattered.
And in the end, it really mattered, because when the Bears did get the ball back, they had almost no time. But, yeah, I felt myself... like rooting for the Vikings and rooting for JJ, and JJ was doing great. Then thinking about the Lions, I don't want him to be that good.
Right, 100%.
I want to win a game.
Yeah,
I like JJ. JJ's a great kid, but
my takeaway out of watching that game last night was this division is going to be really tough. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many wins the Bears are going to have, but they're going to be a tough out, right? And I think this whole thing is going to be like four teams having somewhere between 9 and 11 wins, I think, for all four teams.
Didn't we have a guy call last week and predict that the Lions were going to win the division at 9-8?
Maybe. just watching it, it's competitive as hell. Like, the Vikings have this great offense, but hey, don't discount the players they have on defense, too, that were making plays all throughout the second half. The Bears have a bunch of players, but they're not together as a team just yet. See if that can happen for them, but they're obviously talented. We saw what Green Bay did to the Lions.
Yeah.
This is a tough-ass division with pretty good quarterback play. J.J. McCarthy was impressive and really kind of the last drive of the first half. I was watching the Manning cast of the game, and they were talking about, I don't know why they're even going to try to take plays. They just take a knee and go to halftime, right? I don't know. What are they doing? You know, they're not going to score. Literally, we're saying that. And then... he throws a deep pass on the sideline, picks up like 40 yards, and they're like, well, maybe something else is here, right? And they get the field goal. So it's, I think both teams looked pretty good on TV last night at times. But we'll see. This is a tough division.
Bears got to clean it up. 12 penalties, 127 yards. Not good. All right, let's talk to the quarterback. J. Jared, it is great to have you back for another year. Thanks for being with us here on 97.1 The Ticket. And now that you've had a chance to digest that opener, watch the film, what is your overall takeaway?
Yeah, similar to what I said after, just not even close to good enough, certainly for us offensively. And got a ton of things to work on and improve on. And the good news is it's week one. We got time to fix it, but it's got to happen in a hurry. And there will certainly be some urgency from all of us to get those things fixed. And it starts with me.
Yeah, you said, I think right after the game, you said that you were looking forward to leading the team this week after the loss. What did you feel that you need? What do you feel that needs to be addressed first and foremost? And did that kind of start even on the flight home, or do you like, let's give it a rest? We'll tackle it on Monday.
Yeah. What needs to be addressed? I think, you know, it's hard to put your finger on one thing. I just think there needs to be a little bit of a urgency of intensity and improvement. And Dan said it, you know, we just have to find a way to get better this week and improve this week, and things will be just all right.
You know, one of the core strengths of this team the last few years is the ability to respond. You guys haven't lost back-to-back games in forever. There always seems to be a great resilience, but every team's different. Are you interested, confident in this particular version of the Lions and the ability to respond?
Am I interested or confident?
Are you confident in this team's
yes,
ability?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course, of course, of course. I vary. I mean, it's a lot of the same guys, and we've got a resilient group, dude. I mean, we've been through a lot as a group, and one loss on the road is not going to send us into the gutter by any means. And I think the important thing is to, you know, a loss is a loss. You know, those happen, but the important thing is to focus on what needs to be fixed, what needs to be improved, what needs to be communicated better, and fix those things, and then the wins will come.
From your perspective, what did the Packers do to make it tough to get the ball downfield?
They always done a good job of playing kind of deep to short, I would say, in the secondary. They do a good job with their depth at safety. I think they've got two really good safeties. Obviously, McKinney gets a lot of the credit. But the other guy, 33, does a great job, too, and being smart, pattern matching, you know, doing all the things that they're supposed to do from a deep to short perspective. And then they pass rush well. When they pass rush well, it takes some time for receivers to run downfield. So when they're able to pass rush, it takes some of that away.
Visually, watching the game, it kind of looked like you had less room to work with in the pocket, almost like you needed to take a couple of steps backward. Is that accurate? Was it more smushed coming at you, or am I just – was I having a fever dream?
I think every game is different. I think there's times in my career where it's been like that. There's times in my career where it hasn't been like that. I mean, this game in particular, yeah, there were some messy pockets, but there were also some great pockets. And so I think it's hard to say the whole game was one or the other.
So during the game, you had a 4th-and-2 conversion to Jamison Williams. Tony Romo said on the broadcast that he thought Williams was your 5th read. I know you get that you read your progressions and get down. I didn't know if he was the 5th read, but take us through that play and where JMO fell in the progressions for you.
I came all the way back to him. I don't believe he was the 5th read. I think he would have been more towards the front of those reads. But I progressed through and got to him nicely there and converted. And I think we did a good job converting in some of those situations. Our 3rd down percentage was low, but our 4th down percentage was high. So whenever we're able to convert on any of those, we feel pretty good.
So the new offensive coordinator, John Morton, there's reaction and then there's overreaction. And yesterday we dealt with callers that say, you know, that's the coordinator change. That was what the problem was. But is this just a work in progress when you break in a new coordinator? Is this typical, or is everything going to be fine and everybody just needs to relax?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, it's impossible to try to compare apples to apples with, you know, previous coaches or anything like that. Like it's a completely new thing that we're doing with him, not a new system, but a new communication. And it's a new human. So there's different things going on. And I think back to in 2022 when Ben was in his first year and we went, I believe we were 1-6. That year to start the year, not by any means saying that's where we're headed, but I think there were growing pains there too offensively, and then we got into a good rhythm, you know, halfway through the year. Certainly we want to get in that rhythm this week, though. We don't want to wait till week 6 or 7 to find that out, but I think that's natural when there's a new coordinator, when there's a new guy calling plays. He's getting used to us still, we're getting used to him still, And some of that progression is still happening, but it's all moving in the right direction, and it's all stuff I'm optimistic about. And by no means am I worried about any of it.
Okay. Does it matter at all that he's in the booth or on the field? Somebody, we got that call yesterday. And does it matter to you at all?
No.
Okay.
I think that's foolish.
two incredible catches in the game. One turned in by St. Brown on the sideline. It was amazing. And then I can't believe it was outdone, but it was by Isaac Tesla on that touchdown play at the end of the game. Can you kind of take me through what it was like for you on the field to experience that? And what was it like for you in real time?
Yeah, you know, I wish it was a more competitive game at that point, so I could have been a little bit more excited about it. But yeah, after watching it on tape, one of the most incredible catches I've ever been on the other end of, certainly. And for that to be his first career catch and for it to happen like that is pretty cool for him, for a memory. Ultimately, it was in a moment of the game where there wasn't much celebrating going on. But yeah, happy for him to get that kind of monkey off his back, get that first catch as well as the first touchdown, and hopefully get him more involved as we go.
Did you think it was a touchdown when you first threw it?
No. I knew he caught it. I just didn't think he got his feet down. And then I saw the replay on the screen. I was like, holy smokes, he did it.
Wow. Okay, so obviously moving forward, you mentioned all the things that need to get addressed. I don't know if you watched the Monday night game, saw the Bears, saw Ben Johnson. What do you make of this matchup, given what you've seen of yourself and of them?
Yeah, you know, I watched last night, and I think anytime you're able to get like a live scouting, it's good. You know, Monday night, it's only thing on, and got to see some of that, and then obviously watching some more this morning. And yeah, they're a good team, man. They've always been a good team, though, and I think they've been at the bottom end of our division the last couple of years, but I don't think that's a product of them being a bad team. I think our division's been pretty dang good. So they're a good team. They're a good defense, certainly. We got our hands full, and Dennis Allen's a great coach.
How do you watch the Monday night game? Is this one you watch with teammates, or is it just you with the wife and the kid and a very needy dog? How does it
just
work?
Just me and Kristen. It was 8:15 start, so baby girl was asleep.
Very, very, very smart. Did you see anything different from the defense this time around than what you've seen in the past from the Bears?
Well, certainly. They've got a different coach, a whole different staff, and some different personnel. So, yeah, certainly some differences. And we'll take it to go this week. But like I said, I you know, obviously have a lot of respect for Ben and the way he coached us. And I know he'll have those guys ready. And then I have a lot of respect for Dennis Allen and the way he's coached the Saints over the years. He'll have the defense ready.
One of the great privileges we have is you can answer some questions that get asked us. We got questions yesterday about play calling. I think losing fans like to complain about play calling. How would you respond to those questions about the play calling?
What are the questions?
Oh, you know, the ball didn't get downfield, predictable. These are the things that get thrown at us.
Yeah, I mean, how would I respond? I mean, how much time you got? I think, you know, the downfield thing, like, we called the plays downfield. They covered them. And so I just checked it down to our backs. And I don't think that's any different than we had played certain games in the past. You know, certainly we'd call those shots. If they're not open, I check it down. If they are open, I'd like to, you know, think I'd take those chances. And yeah, so we got to find a way to get those open more often. Certainly, I guess, I think that's maybe partially answers it, but we will. We'll find those ways and figure it out. We've got a pretty fast guy in Jameson Williams who can get down there and like to throw it to him downfield, as well as, you know, a handful of other guys. So as we go, those shots will come, and we'll continue to find them.
Lastly, Jerry, did you have any flashbacks when you're watching the play where Branch has the interception, Hutchinson gets called for blocking Jordan Love, and all we could think about is, hey, how about you know, the playoff game where Jared got smoked and there was no flag on that? But they're
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And a flag Hutchinson for hitting Jordan Love.
Yeah, I think they probably missed that call. I try I try not to have this flashbacks to that game as much as possible. So thanks for doing that here. But that was a hell of a play by Branch. I don't believe that's a penalty on Aiden. I think that as soon as the quarterback starts chasing the play, he's live. Didn't matter if we had a defensive holding, so none of it mattered, I guess. But yeah.
Jared, appreciate your time. Thanks for the insight. It is always helpful, and we will talk again next week. Good luck.
Good. I'm glad I can be helpful for you guys. Well, and, I appreciate you having me on.
Jared, seriously, because we get bombarded with questions after losses that we don't know how to answer, but it's great to have you to come on to answer them.
I should just come on like right after the game, huh?
No, you should. No, do not come on right after.
Everybody needs a cooling down period. Tuesdays are good.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad I can come on every Tuesday and talk to y'all. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, appreciate it.
All right, guys.
There he is, Jared Goff, Detroit Lions quarterback. He's something, isn't he? Do you feel better? Like, he sounds like he's perfectly confident.
I guess a little bit, but I didn't feel that. Look, in the wake of the game, I hated the game. It was a game where they were completely non-competitive, it felt like, offensively. Because those are the visceral reactions you get. Then you go back and kind of look at your notes and you look at the play-by-play sheet and everything else. And I'm like, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as maybe I initially thought it was. Like, they did drive the ball a few times.
Yeah.
They didn't end up with touchdowns.
The defense was better in the second half.
Yeah, the defense is really good in the second half. Look, they didn't get after Jordan Love, and that's a problem. They got to work on it, and it's a big area of focus because everybody's looking at it. Hey, what about the guy opposite of Hutch? Well, what about Hutch? You know, and I got it. But offensively, I think that they've, you know, they started to move the ball. They did move the ball a little bit, so I'm not in this deep, dark place that I thought it might be.
It's why, though, it's cool to have people ask us questions on Monday, and then we can file them away. Like, it doesn't matter if John Morton's in the box or on the field. Stuff like that, and be able to ask Jared himself. And so we do appreciate him coming on, and we do appreciate all the questions we get from the listeners. All right, your thoughts on what Jared Goff had to say. Does that make people feel better? I mean, he sounded pretty confident.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.